from KQED.
If you're driving to work alone today, you have lots of company. Here in California, most of us do, and that's a problem for local planners trying to meet new state targets for curbing greenhouse gas emissions. So what would make us change our behavior? As part of our occasional series, Miles to Go, Los Angeles Bureau Chief Chrissy Clark explored that question and found the state may be able to learn a thing or two from parents.
We can all recite the reasons why driving alone can be a problem, and yet, drive alone we do. I do it every day. So the question facing California is deeper than how to get people to drive less. It's really how to get people to do something that may be good for them, but also happens to be hard. This, of course, is an age-old question, and one that parents face every day, including Natalie's.
I'm Natalie. I'm 11 years old.
Natalie's list of good but hard things includes taking showers, going to bed, getting ready for softball practice. Like a lot of 11-year-olds, when she's comfy on the couch and her mom asks her to do something.
Nat? Yeah. Are you dressed? Nat? Yeah. Can you come here?
I just sit there and go, oh, I'm lazy, so I don't like getting up.
So what does her mom do? Of course, ideally, she wants her daughter to recognize the sheer intrinsic value of what she's been asked to do.
Doing the right thing for the sake of doing the right thing.
And then what happens?
I just stay there.
That's about the same reaction many Californians have when we're faced with the intrinsic value of driving less. Our state has actually invested big bucks on building new public transit systems over the last few decades in the hope that we'd do the right thing and use them. Louise Bedsworth led a study on transportation habits for the Public Policy Institute of California.
What we've seen over the last several decades is just a sort of build it and they will come mentality. But when we look at the numbers and how people are getting to work, we just have not seen a lot of increase in line with the type of investment we've been making in transit over the last several decades.
Okay, so intrinsic value doesn't seem to work for the state or for 11-year-olds, which leaves two basic options for getting to that good but hard thing. First, make doing that thing more alluring, the proverbial carrot. In Natalie's case, her mom might say,
what if I offered you candy or more TV or something like that?
Would that work?
Yes.
In the case of driving less, carpool lanes are a common carrot, but that approach only goes so far. The biggest carrot of all would be an efficient 24/7 public transportation system. Harvey Mollich is an environmental sociologist who splits his time between New York University and Santa Barbara. He says Californians love the idea of whooshing around on a subway system like New York City's.
People want to be in on the whoosh. But we have to work with the California that we have rather than the California we would like it to be. And that is one in which the population is spread. And bus is a viable alternative.
But buses, says Mollich, are harder carrots to sell. So what about our other option, the stick? When Natalie's mom is getting really desperate to get her daughter to do something like...
dreaded family dinner for her aunt's birthday.
No!
Mom says the stick can come in handy.
If she doesn't want to do something, then I might withhold the privilege of going to a friend's house or having a sleepover.
Privileges can also be withheld in the world of transportation policy, like the privilege of free parking, which, face it, most of us treat as a right, as George Costanza explains so eloquently.
My father never paid for parking, my mother, my brother, nobody. We can't do it. It's like going to a prostitute. Why should I pay when if I apply myself, maybe I could get it for free?
Well, yes, nobody wants to pay for parking, and that will never change.
Donald Shoup is the author of The High Cost of Free Parking and a professor at UCLA. His theory is that because we hate to pay for parking, it's the perfect target for a little stick-based behavior modification. Shoup thinks there should be much less free parking in California, since it only encourages us to drive and circle the block looking for that free spot. In fact, Shoup says hunting for parking accounts for almost 30% of traffic in urban neighborhoods.
It added up to 950,000 vehicle miles of traffic. Now, that is 4 trips to the moon or 36 trips around the earth in a little 15-block area, and it's happening all over the world.
LA and San Francisco recently launched programs designed by Shoup meant to curb that. Meters on a block will sense how many parking spaces are being used. The fewer spaces left, the more expensive they'll be. The idea is that some people will decide it's just not worth it and take the bus. the stick in action. But again, it's only nibbling at the edges. The biggest stick of all is, of course, higher gas prices. Louise Bedsworth, the transportation analyst, points to the fact that the only time in the last decade the state saw a significant drop in driving had to do with one key thing.
The 2008 gas price spike, it really put a price on your decision. And I think where there's actually a price involved, you're going to rethink it.
And that's the big thing. Rethinking how we use our cars is both the challenge and the solution. The solution being that sweet moment that 11-year-old Natalie increasingly comes to.
I said fine.
For the California Report, I'm Chrissy Clark in Los Angeles.
You can hear the entire Miles to Go series and read Chrissy Clark's true confessions about solo driving online at californiareport.org/climatewatch.
Funds for the production of this report were provided by the Silicon Valley Community Foundation's Envision Bay Area Initiative, with more information available at youchoosebayarea.org.